بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful.
السلام عليكم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على خير المرسلين محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. It's really nice to be with you all, and this is actually my final session. Alhamdulillah, it's been a pleasure to be in New Jersey this weekend. Before I even start the talk, I just really want to thank everyone who put this together at the convention, the team, the organizers, and the shuyukh and the murabbeen who mentored the organizers. Everyone who put this on, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you and increase you and preserve you. This was a really beautiful experience. Thank you. So I am supposed to discuss this topic of happiness, and how when we let go of certain bad habits, there is a happiness and there's a sweetness in that experience that you really can't compare to other things. And I really feel this particular story I'm going to tell you, it's kind of like a folktale story. It was actually my mom told me the story in Farsi. It might be a little hard to translate, but this story really, I think, you know, provides a really nice image of what that can look like. And basically, as the story goes, a long, long time ago, there's a young man who's a construction worker. And he's working on the construction of a masjid, of a big grand mosque. And at the completion of the construction of this masjid, the sultan who ordered the construction of the masjid, he wanted all of the construction workers to leave. And the reason is because his daughter had asked him, this is the princess, the sultan's daughter, she made a special request that after the construction of this big, beautiful, grand masjid is finished, she wanted to be the first one to go into that masjid and pray 2 rak'ahs in the musalla with no one else there. So this was the request of the princess. So as the masjid is finished, the construction workers leave. And this one construction worker, he was falling behind. He was late. And he didn't realize that everyone else had already left. And they had allowed the princess into the masjid to go pray. So as he's leaving, he catches a glimpse of the princess inside the musalla of the masjid praying 2 rak'ahs of nafl. And the scene was just so incredible to him. It was such an amazing scene. And he basically just fell in love with the princess. It was just a very beautiful image to him, and he fell in love with her. And it became more than that. He became infatuated with her. So when he came home, he told his mother about what had happened, and he said, "You have to go to the Sultan and ask for the princess's hand in marriage." And the mother said, "I can't do that. You're a construction worker. No one's like, you know, the Sultan's not going to have his daughter marry you." But this construction worker became infatuated. He couldn't work, he couldn't think, he couldn't eat, he couldn't sleep. He was just in a miserable state. And the mother, out of fearing for her son and his well-being, she realized that if she doesn't do something, he may die because he's refusing food and water at this point. So she goes to the palace and she asks to speak to the Sultan, and you know, the guards, they turn her away. And she insists and she says, "My son is going to die. I have to talk to the Sultan." So finally, they let her talk to the Sultan. And she mentions the story to the Sultan, and the Sultan asks that she come back with the construction worker. So they come back together, and he tells the construction worker, after everyone leaves the masjid that nighttime, after Isha prayer, you have to come and pray Qiyam in this masjid for 40 nights. If you come and pray Qiyam in this masjid for 40 nights straight, I will let you marry my daughter. And he said, there will be someone there to make sure that you come. And if you miss a day, we'll know about it. So in 40 days, if you fulfill your end of the bargain, I will let you consider my daughter for marriage. So the construction worker is excited. You know, this is a chance at life. So he goes the first day and he prays Qiyam in the masjid. after everyone leaves. And he goes the second day, and the third. And after a few weeks, he notices that he's getting better. He's eating again, he's drinking again. He cares about life again. And eventually, he starts to really, really enjoy coming to the masjid and praying qiyam when everyone else has left. To such an extent that he starts to pray to Allah, that Allah never takes away these beautiful moments that he has with him, alone in solitude, praying to him in the night. So 40 days pass, 50 days pass, 60 days pass, 70 days pass, and eventually the Sultan asks to see the construction worker. And he says, "How come you didn't come see me? You fulfilled your end of the bargain. You prayed all 40 nights. We saw that you prayed. How come you didn't come and see me?" And the construction worker turns to the Sultan and he says, "Before I saw your daughter, my heart was empty. And the first thing of beauty that my heart was exposed to was your daughter. And that's why it grabbed onto that experience. But then after I started praying in the masjid for 40 nights, my heart witnessed a beauty that was much greater than her. My heart witnessed a beauty that it has never felt before." And he tells the Sultan, he goes on to say, "Thank you so much for offering me your daughter to consider, but I am happy where I am and I am in no need of her." And he goes on his way. And he doesn't marry the princess because he had found a love and a beauty and a happiness that was much greater than just seeing the princess that one time. And this was the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the beauty of a close relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is something that only the one who has experienced it can really talk about it. And even if they were to try to talk about it, it doesn't do it justice. And Ibn Taymiyyah, he talked about this. He said, "The one who does not enjoy the Jannah of this life will not enjoy the Jannah of the next life." And the scholars talked about what did Ibn Taymiyyah mean. And it's to be in a state where the slave of Allah loves Allah so much and is pleased with their Lord, and Allah loves his servant so much and is pleased with his servant. And this is mentioned in the Quran, radiyallahu anhum wa radu an. This is referring to the companions, but it's this mutual relationship of love with the Creator. When we talk about the categories of sweetness of Iman, to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than we love everyone and anything else, including ourselves, is something that brings the sweetness of Iman. And you could think, how could loving someone other than myself bring happiness? Only when it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and only when it's the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because actually it's to love Allah and his Prophet. So when we want to experience happiness, we have to work on love. We have to grow our love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we have to grow our love for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the third category actually of experiencing sweetness of Iman is to love for your brothers and sisters for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is something that also brings the sweetness of Iman. So it's all love. And the only thing you hate is what's already hated, which is to be thrown into hellfire. But to really experience this type of sweetness and happiness, it's a path of love. And you can't get on this path of love without some hard work. And so if we go back to the story of this construction worker, it had some components. So it didn't happen overnight. You know, remember that the Sultan, who is wise, he told him you have to do it for 40 days. We'll come back to the number 40 in a little bit. You have to do it for a certain amount of time. It has to become a habit. It has to become part of your life. And when that happens, then you can let go of either the bad habit or the material attachment. Something else that was really important in the story of the construction worker is his mother. His mother was someone who saw him in such a bad condition. And she was someone who only cared about saving her son. She was interested in his well-being. You need to have people around you that when you are turning away from the path of loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you're turning away from the path of true happiness, there is someone who cares more about your happiness than you. You need to have that kind of person in your life that pushes you back or that tries to find a way out for you. As was mentioned earlier, having companions that push you to be better. Something to think about in terms of happiness And I have, as usual, much more prepared than I have time for. There's from the Quran, and I won't go through the verses themselves, but the Quran talks about what are, I guess, the gifts or the blessings that come with practicing taqwa. And I use the term practicing taqwa because we hear about these things and we think it's a verb. We think it's a noun. You know, God consciousness. So either I have God consciousness or I don't have it. If you don't have it, practice it. It's a verb. All right? So some of the things that are benefits or gifts that come with practicing, consciously, deliberately, being recognizing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seeking His pleasure and seeking happiness from Him, these are some of the things that are the benefits according to verses in the Quran. Number one, that you'll be blessed with righteous children. Number two, that you will have blessings that will come from above you and from below you. Number three, that you will be given provision, rizq, and a way out of difficult circumstances. Number four, that you get to experience the sweetness of the ma'iyah of Allah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He is with the muttaqeen. So the ma'iyah, this withness, being close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number five, you are granted safety. Number six, you are granted victory in your affairs. So you're thinking, what do we need victory in today? We need a lot of victory today. We need a lot of help with the different causes that we're working for. Taqwa brings that victory. Number seven, you are given a good ending. And number eight, you are given paradise itself. These are essentially, according to the Quran, these are some of the blessings or the gifts or the forms of happiness that come with having taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيْرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيْرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ, that He does not change our condition until we change what is inside ourselves. When we are looking at all of the different challenges, whether they're political or social or economic, whether they are intellectual, whether they are with our families, with our communities, there are so many different levels of difficulty. It's so hard to look, you know, for example, online, on social media, the news can be very, very depressing. And the thing that brings peace to my heart is knowing that our way out is something doable for each and every individual in this room. I'm not waiting for someone to show up like a prince in shining armor to show up on a big white horse. That's not what I'm waiting for. I'm waiting for me to turn my heart and focus it back on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And each one of us, if we make a decision to do that, our condition as an entire people will change. And this is something that when we say, do you believe in the promise of Allah? You know, we need to believe in this promise. There's something some scholars are calling for. They say, as an ummah, we need to make a collective tawbah. We need to go through our diseases. We need to go through our double standards and the issues, the social ills, and we need to cleanse them out of our hearts and cleanse them out of our communities, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will elevate and honor us if we are doing this as a way of turning to Him in obedience and sincerity. I wanted to make a quick point about tawbah. It was something that was touched on earlier, and I think it's really important in the context of happiness. For a lot of young people, for old people, whoever we are, wherever we are, in our levels of practice, tawbah is delayed. Tawbah can be delayed because we are escaping or delaying this guilty feeling that we don't want to feel. We're trying to, if we make tawbah, that means we have to admit we did something wrong, and we want to escape this feeling of doing something wrong, of guilt or regret, because regret doesn't feel good. You know, recognizing that you're wrong, that's painful initially. But something that's amazing and incredible about tawbah and about the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in general is that the beginning of it starts with that, but the end of it is so much relief. And there is more relief and happiness in tawbah than there is in the sin that the person is committing. There is more relief and happiness in repentance than there is in the sin that the person is insisting in. And you have to believe this for yourself. Think about it in regards to the smallest thing that you may have done and have done a sincere or tried to, you know, accomplish a sincere tawbah for. Initially, it may have been hard, but you needed to cry those tears. You needed to turn to Allah and stand in front of Him, guilty as charged, and seek His forgiveness and stand up after that moment, a new person, given a new life, given another chance. This is an incredible moment. It's not something to flee away from, it's something to flee towards, to flee towards repentance. When we think about happiness is in the submission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, again, it's the delaying of, what is it? We're in the culture of instant gratification. If you can be patient and allow yourself to feel certain discomforts in the path of seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is given instead of that is something that's really beautiful and amazing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has two names that relate to this. His name Al-Qabid and His name Al-Basit. And every one of us experience in our lives a certain level of qabd. Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will contract. Sometimes it's we feel a contraction on the inside of our hearts. We feel like the whole world is closing in on us, or it's a contraction of our affairs. Everything doesn't seem like it's going the way it should be. Nothing is in our control. You know, you feel overwhelmed. This is a state of qabd. But He's also al-basit, and He's the one who expands everything. All of a sudden, everything flows. All of a sudden, you feel like you can run to Him. You can do as many good deeds as you possibly can. You feel no hesitation in obeying Him and worshiping Him the way that He should be worshipped. And we are always in a state between qabd and bast. And qabd comes with our sins necessarily, but sometimes it comes even if you're not doing those sins. Bast comes not necessarily from tawbah, but it can come from tawbah. Bast again being expansion. So when you are in a state of contraction, there's two things to keep in mind. Either I've done something that is in disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is blessing me with the state of contraction so that I can feel close, so I can feel more motivated to run to Him. I will up my worship to get out of the state of qabd. I will up my dua. I will increase my good deeds. And something to think about when it comes to al-bast, or expansion, is this is a state of gratitude and shukr. And when we're in this state, it's so important to attribute the happiness and the sweetness and the enjoyment of this state as being a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not attributing it to ourselves. Because necessarily, if we attribute the statement of bust to some inner goodness that we have, we're better than other people, somehow we must be in this great maqam, all of these waswas that the shaitan could tell us, it will automatically turn us back to a state of contraction, because that's arrogance and it's self-righteousness. So the source of this feeling of bust is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The source of the feeling of qabd is also from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and both of them are rewarded states. Both of them are states where a person can experience it and know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching them and they can still reach for His love. And so long as you can reach for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can reach for His happiness. I say this, and whatever is beneficial is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and whatever is wrong and mistaken is from myself and the shaitan. Jazakumullah khair.